The Green Front with Betsy Rosenberg, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Welcome to the Green Front. I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg. I've been doing Green Radio for almost 14 years now, so thanks for joining me. I like to go out and get the most interesting topical stories having to do with anything on the Green Front, which is your environment and everything under the great warm sun, and that involves a lot of weather-related news, but we're going to take a break from that today. Today's program is all about feminine power, from the power and love of Divine Mother to the women eco-warriors in our midst, and there's quite a few. My first guest today is a shamanic Mayan healer known as Peace Mother, and she'll be talking about how our connection to spirit and divine love can heal us personally and planetarily if we can access, celebrate, and practice our spiritual selves. We'll find out what's behind that, what she means by that. And in the second half of today's program, we'll meet a woman by the name of Dorca Keen. She is an artist, a journalist, and an author of a just-released book called Eco Amazons. It's a compilation of interviews with 20 environmental leaders who all happen to be powerful and courageous women. But first, here is one powerful and courageous individual. She is a woman whose name is Peace Mother Gita Sacred Song. I've had the pleasure and privilege to know her for just about a month and a half now, and so have been in her sacred presence and feel that there is a very important message that she has for all of us in terms of connecting with ourselves, our spirit, Divine Mother, and of course Mother Nature, and perhaps some of the problems that we're going to face, that we're already facing, if we lose that connection. So I definitely thought there was a green angle here and wanted you to meet her. So without further delay, welcome to the Green Front, Peace Mother.
Thank you so much, Betsy. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
And thank you for joining me. And you have written a book, among other things. You have CDs and prayers that are accessible to people online. But the book that is really jam-packed with some really practical, modern information and yet has some, you know, traditional roots is called The Impeccable Warrior of Light, Mantras and Rituals for Spiritual Protection. First off, why do we need spiritual protection?
We need spiritual protection because it's a fact of nature that there is forever a battle for the soul, a battle for our essence. And if we're going to be faithful and be aware of beautiful things like the Mother Earth, of our friendships, our relationships with each other, with the land, with the sky, with the waters, with everything that's provided to us in order to live a beautiful life, we need to be able to know how to protect that. We all know there's positive and negative, and therefore there's always going to be a strong negative force that tries to squish the beauty. And it is our, very much our sacred duty to defend that beauty through our spiritual practices.
That beauty and Mother Earth's beauty, not only being beautiful, but providing bounty that we need to subsist and to live on and to thrive. So to ignore that connection is perilous to all of us, and yet we've been doing that. There are dark forces that we individuals battle with, but collectively as a culture, we Americans seem to be, at the moment, I won't say losing that battle to protect and preserve Mother Earth, because that means protecting and preserving our life support system. But it seems we're either losing touch with that connection or forgetting. Why do you think we're in this place, just this country alone, where we're ignoring very serious issues like climate change, like depletion of the oceans, like species disappearing? You think that we would have progressed as a species, as humans, certainly, you know, as very fortunate, blessed Americans with so many resources, to really be conscious of what, you know, is most critical to our survival, what we cannot live without. And at the very basic level, talking about abundant clean water supply, clean air, abundant, clean food and diversity of same. We don't seem to be going in the right direction there, it certainly is my sense. And what's your understanding of that?
If the current generation was brought up with abundance of everything and everything coming very easily, we all know that there's a spiritual law which says that familiarity breeds contempt. This is a very true saying. So whatever we have, such as electricity, water, we have abundance of nature, we don't appreciate it. It's very easy to fall into forgetfulness of how important and vital it is. It's also not built into our culture. This Western culture was, for the most part, most people are not brought up with a great abundance of teachings about how important the trees are, for example, our forests, the water. People don't relate to the fact that we depend for our very life from all of these parts of nature. So I do feel that it has to do with the fact that America has enjoyed having so much, and then people get very caught up in what they have, and they forget the source that it came from.
Very caught up and very complacent, it seems.
Yes, exactly, very complacent. And I do believe, though, the good news is that every generation behind us is going to be more active, and they are of a different vibration. So they do love nature for the most part. Most children, they appreciate, they understand that nature is a living entity, that the trees are alive, and they feel great love for the trees, and they speak with the trees, and they see the angels and the fairies, and they communicate with the water. So there is a different wave of consciousness coming in. In the meantime, however, it's important for all of us to not wonder why do people not get it. We need to just understand they don't. That's the stage that they're at, some people. And we need to do our spiritual part through prayer, through visualization, through affirmation. We need to understand that we have fantastic power within us to create. And we can create in a heartbeat a whole new world. Look at what's happening in the Middle East, and how all of a sudden things change. The dynamics in so many countries have changed, and more are changing, because people took charge. They voted with their feet. They marched. They stood up for what they felt was important, and we must do the same with the environment.
Yeah, it seems that things really have to get to a crisis stage before there's a critical mass of individuals who do stand up and say no more. And I think we're getting there with regards at least to just climate change activism in this country, where things have gotten so polarized and politicized around something that should be simply practical, and with the advent of so many extreme weather events and the devastation and death that's in its wake, that people are going to have a harder time denying that we have a problem. And so I guess that is the silver lining, or as I probably would say, the green lining in the dark cloud, that our, you know, ignorance, by that I mean ignoring these issues selectively, willfully or not, is catching up with us, and it seems the party is over. It's time to sober up, and it doesn't have to be necessarily a negative thing and all about sacrifice. There can be something beautiful in finding a simpler way to live, and by that I'm not implying we should all move out of our homes and, you know, move into teepees, but we have gotten a little bit excessive in terms of our consumption. We Americans certainly were not sustainable if everyone emulated our lifestyle, certainly, and I'm not sure we can afford our lifestyle anymore in many ways.
We cannot. We cannot, and I do feel that the situation has already reached that critical stage. It will only become more evident every day. We are seeing the melting of the ice caps everywhere, and the rising of the water levels, and as you very well know, every day there's some part of the world that is being flooded, or we are having the consecutive earthquakes and so much destruction, tornadoes, you name it,
fires.
So what are we waiting for? Why do we need to be banged on the head with more proof, and why don't we move on these things? And the answer is very simple, as you just said, complacency. Oh, as long as many people feel, as long as we have still electricity, we have water, well, we can relate to other people's pain, but then in a few days we forget about it. So unfortunately, humanity does often learn through rough lessons. So then when it's you that doesn't have the water, when it's you, the person doesn't have any more the electricity, then we treasure it and we wish we could have it again. But I do believe that all in all, this is going to be a rough learning curve, but a very good one for everyone, for all of humanity as a whole, for our evolution. And I also believe very firmly in holding the vision that the Earth is reborn, because she has the power to rebirth herself. She knows very well. She has been through this through eons and eons and eons. So Mother Earth has the power to regenerate. It's humanity that we must pray for, also that there be a birth of consciousness so that humanity can reach its highest destiny.
I used to call that complacency factor something I coined COD, the COD factor, and that's an acronym for complacent, oblivious, and in denial. And it seems my generation, we baby boomers, have really mastered that pretty well. Not talking across the board here, but majority of Americans, you know, 40-something, 50-something, 60-something, just seem to be feeling like, well, if there is a problem, you know, our kids will handle it. The next generation will. And I don't let them off the hook. Let us off the hook that easily. I say if we're going to live to 105 or so with all the, longevity experts out there telling us what to do and supplements and potions and hormones, who knows? But if we're going to live, you know, even another decade or two, we have consumer choices we can make every day that will have a positive or negative impact.
We do have to be supremely aware of our own power to have an impact. I was just thinking how so many people feel, well, why should I do anything? I'm just one person. For example, no, I won't write that letter today to a congressman or to the president, and they don't. And then there's millions of people and maybe billions thinking the same thing. And if everyone did it just as that one person alone, but it could be millions and billions of letters arriving to the president, to the Congress, to whatever governing body makes decisions. Because really what it's going to take, I feel, is enough people standing up and saying, that's enough. I do not choose this kind of life. I do not choose to have polluted air and polluted waters I cannot even swim in anymore. And they will stand up, and that's what it takes. We must stand up one way or another. You know, I don't always march, but I do work at my altar on a daily basis for humanity and for Mother Earth, and I sing her songs, and I sing songs for humanity, such as this one. Nothing stands a chance against our prayers. No ignorance stands a chance against the light, against the divine. For love is the answer. It's the only way, the only way, the sacred way. Return to our
Beautiful.
Sacred root. And if those of us who are aware of that hold that vision, humanity is now living in accordance with the spiritual laws of appreciation, of being an excellent guardian, for example. If we envision it and we dream the beautiful dream instead of the nightmare, then that is what we will create. So writing letters, those of you that can march, get out and march, but don't march in an angry way. March in a determined way, steady, with steady attention, steady determination, steady vision. If you're angry and you are an archer, your arrow will not hit the target. And if you're angry, then all you do is spark anger in whoever you're trying to convince to your point of view, and you will not make progress. But if we go with love in our heart and determination to transform our reality, then we can be a powerful force and we can change this world. We can improve it in a heartbeat.
You know, part of the problem, I certainly think those are very wise words, and we should all live by them. And yet so many people I know, and I'm sure you know out there, listeners, are, you know, just too busy. Don't bother me. I'm just trying to pay the electricity bill. You know, I am just trying to raise my kids. I'm just trying to, you know, keep my job. They're overwhelmed, and that's part of the reason we have the ecological decline pretty much across the board that we're seeing. People just, you know, feel like it's something they can either put off or, as you say, they cannot impact, so they'll focus on something that they can, something closer to home. And you multiply that, you know, so many homes, so many blocks, so many communities across the country, and we get, you know, apathy and inattention. And so where are we going? And what we're going to do is have, you know, a very very sudden crash against the wall, it seems. It seems like we're kind of marching off a cliff in terms of using up our resources and causing pollution from that and climate change being the exacerbator for all these problems. Why must we stop and take the path you're talking about, and how can spirituality be sort of the vehicle, if you will, to take us down that path where we reconnect and have consciousness before it's, quote, too late?
Spirituality is the key to everything. For example, regardless of whether we're speaking of a relationship with our family, a relationship to our car, relationship to our body, relationship to a project, a business, or a creative project, relationship to Mother Earth, the sky, the air, the ether, the environment, if we are not in wisdom, if we're not walking in wisdom, if we're not walking in appreciation, if we're not walking in compassion, if we're not walking in clarity, then regardless of what the relationship is, we will not tend to it. We will not attend. We will not respect it. We'll take it for granted, and we'll use it and therefore abuse it, and it will break down. And we see that in something so simple as a car. If you don't take care of it, it will break down. It's no big surprise it's broken down. We didn't take care of it. We didn't look after it. We didn't pay loving attention to it.
Just like
our bodies. Spirituality is the key for everything. And yes, as you are mentioning, people in society anywhere, especially when they're comfortable, either when they're comfortable and they have plenty or when they don't have enough, and so now it's all about survival, both end up in the same result, which is that life takes all of our attention, all the I, me, 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 what am I going to do, how am I going to do it, or enjoying the life, it's still I, me, me, me. And it's not about everybody else. It's not about the seven generations. It's not about the rest of the world. And this can change only when enough of us who do understand the laws of nature and the laws that govern the universe, when enough of us call forth that humanity is in balance, that humanity is victorious in wisdom, victorious in the light. It's a fact that it only takes one person to change a whole world. And when you have more than one, imagine what we can do. So we must not lose the faith. I know it looks bleak at times, but even in the bleakest moments, we must hold the vision, whatever we envision becomes. Let's face it. The reason we have electricity is somebody envisioned that this could be done. We have this water, this running water coming to our homes. Someone envisioned that system working. Once upon a time, people thought you would go off the end of the earth if you sailed out too far into the ocean.
Hmm.
How ridiculous is that ignorance to us now? And once upon a time, people did not fly to the moon, but somebody envisioned it. And more than that, we can do if we join our power. So we know that there are some people who are locked into ignorance, and unfortunately, perhaps they will have to go, as we're seeing in Japan, look at what's happening there with the nuclear plants. Now, the Japanese are marching. The citizens are marching and saying, no more nuclear plants. They learned from that. So let us pray, let us envision that all of humanity learns from this, that we all wake up, that we all stand up, and that we all choose a healthy, balanced life.
Native Americans in this country certainly were in touch and are in touch with the land so much better than we are. Do we need to see that kind of cultural return to those who, maybe even a movement among farmers who are directly depending upon the land, and indirectly we all are because we all eat fruits and vegetables and rely on products that come from farms, ranches, etc. People think it comes from the food stores, and you go to the grocery store, the supermarkets, and there's such abundance there that we are removed. And as you say, as long as we're comfortable and there is abundance, there is a sense of, no problem. But, of course, those of us who study these areas know that what's behind that appearance of abundance and diversity, almost too much, how many different kinds of mayonnaise do we need, really? That's an example, or deodorant or shaving cream, you name it, toothpaste. It's overwhelming standing there, in an American pharmacy, whitener, non-whitener, semi-whitener, whatever it is. And yet so much of the world is still living in such a deficit in terms of resources turned into products. So I don't know, maybe a cataclysmic, which we seem to be starting to see, you know, shaking up is in order to get it done faster, because certainly the slow boil, the frog in the water, we don't seem to be, you know, jumping out very quickly. And, of course, there's really no place to jump off into. So maybe
it's
better that it's all
terrible image, but it is true. We're just like that. We're just like that, exactly. Exactly. The good news is, I'll just tell you, if we have time, a very quick story.
Mm-hmm.
Once there was a woman that I met who used to do a lot of marching and demonstrations against the nuclear power plants. And she said, I had a vision. It wasn't a dream. It was an actual vision. I had an angelic being appear to me. And this is one day. And this angelic being told me, we want you to stop the angry marching. And said, we want you to realize that we are working on the situation to contain it. But when you all go and march in anger, then you make our job that much more difficult. And this is the message again. Dream the dream, not the beautiful, dream the beautiful dream and not the nightmare. Dream the beautiful dream and not the nightmare. We must have faith that what we envision can become so. It may be tomorrow, and maybe there will have to be some tough lessons along the way for humanity. We can't guess or tune in to the timing exactly, because it's being formed as we speak according to everyone's daily and momentary choice how it will unfold. People from our peace team recently were having dreams of tsunamis in Mexico, and many people left dead. I had a dream of a tsunami 2 days ago, 3 days ago, and we know that the waters are on the rise, so maybe this will have to take place. And at the same time, we are calling forth that humanity wake up. We are praying for humanity. So our prayers could also bring forth waves of compassion so that people don't have to go through such a harsh lesson. But if humanity chooses that, then yes, that's what will happen. And yes, from there, there will be a birth of consciousness, a huge learning wave where we will do things very differently.
Now, since you are studied in Mayan tradition, of course, I have to ask you a question I'm sure you're tired of answering. What, if anything, do you see happening in 2012? Because it certainly seems like we're on the runway for a major shift of some sort.
I have been asked that before, and I always give this answer. What will happen is what we create to happen. So it always comes back to us. The Mayan prophecy, there's a huge cycle that is completing, and it is all about evolution, about this long, long evolutionary cycle that we've been in. And now there is this flood of consciousness. And I know that as we see people around us in politics, in places of power, who seem so deaf and so blind, it is difficult sometimes, of course, to accept that humanity is actually advancing. But believe me, just look at the children. And look at how there's teenagers that have nonprofit organizations already and working on the internet to awaken consciousness for so many causes. We are definitely on the going up in evolution and consciousness. We are definitely moving forward. We mustn't believe not. But sometimes when there's a battle between light and dark, as there often is, then the dark forces, in fear of losing their control over what they have manipulated for so long, they will clamp down. And when people are weak, they will utilize them and keep them asleep. But the light forces are working continually and constantly in the greatest compassion. So we must invoke that they be victorious. This is what we must do if we want a beautiful 2012 and years after. Invoking the light, victory for the light, victory for the light forces, victory for the celestial forces, victory for Mother Earth, victory for all forces of compassion that love us and feed us and nurture us, victory unto them and loving care unto them. Let us keep proclaiming that as the reality and take whatever steps we can every day to make it so, and then we are the creators of the new world.
You do something called Mayan soul retrieval, and you use sacred sounds, including a rattle that I'm just going to shake to give our listeners a sense of the intensity of that. And when you have that rattling very close to your ears, it does something. It sort of kind of shakes up your soul. I have been the beneficiary of this process that left me feeling very peaceful, very calm, and it lasted, you know, more than a few hours, more than a few days, more than a few weeks. How can people access your magic if they just happen to be listening right now?
They can go to our website, and if you would mention that at the end, I'd appreciate it. And at the website, all these tools are available. And in the book, my message is that you are the creator of your world and that you can take charge and you can cast off your own negative forces that cause things like procrastination or fear. Fear. What if I do this? Well, what if I stand up for this cause? And then what about my family? What about my job? We want clarity. We want that spiritual wisdom, all of us. That's why we are born, to achieve that. And these spiritual tools help you to quickly access that. And I call it the fast track to enlightenment. So everything that's there, know that these are things I use. These are items, ceremonial items I use in my daily practice of helping people, of doing the work, the ceremonies for the Mother Earth, for Madre Tierra, Pachamama, Umama Lumikabam, Ma Bhuvaneshwari, so many names for the beautiful mother that feeds us. You can do it too. And as you've experienced, when you work with sacred tools, you realize, you can feel tangibly that you are a sacred being. You're not just a body or a mind that has this limited life. You tap into your divine essence and your eternal being. And then you can feel the power that has been placed within you since primordial time that you can utilize to create a fantastic, radiant life.
Beautiful. You talk about being victorious, and there's a part in your book that I very much related to, and I'm sure some of our listeners will. Those of us who tend to be more sensitive, tuned into our environment, for instance, and maybe kinder, gentler souls, and that can be a blessing and a curse because we do pick up a lot, you say that's not enough. We need to be strong as well as sensitive. What do you mean by that?
Yes, yes. So many of the sensitive people, they have a loving heart. So throughout so many reincarnations, they have cultivated the power to love, how to feel compassion. But the dark forces are supremely strong. They're like psychic bullies. Just imagine these psychic monsters. And they can just come and stomp all over you, and they can trick you, and they can distract you through relationships, through money, not having enough, or feeling imprisoned by this or that. And then a sensitive soul just ends up tormented, always tormented by the pain of others, by their own pain, by the pain of Mother Earth. But you, again, if you were a warrior, you cannot be an effective warrior if you're emotionally tormented. One must have tremendous focus. One must have strength. One must have clarity. One must have determination. This is what gives power to your prayers or your songs or your dancing or your drumming. There has to be power behind it. Two people can drum and get two different results. For myself, I don't have to do anything but hum or even think it, and that is a blast of this beautiful cosmic power that goes out to that person or to that place. Because I have honed my attention is like a laser, and that's what I mean by strength. Strength is strength. We must be strong. We must cultivate discipline over our mind and focus our attention. And this requires training, but it doesn't have to be difficult. In the book, I've given very easy mantras. I've shared what I do, which is very childlike. You know me. I don't like to complicate things. I like everything to be simple and very childlike, very pure.
Like to laugh a lot.
It's effective.
You like to laugh? Laugh with joy.
We laugh a lot. Laugh a lot. And Mother Earth needs us to laugh because it's heavy what is going on around us. So we need to lighten it up. It doesn't mean that we're not concerned. So how to, you know, walk in both worlds, being concerned and yet being light. But if you're going to sing with full power, you've got to remain light, light-hearted, light in your way of dealing. For example, Gandhi, who changed history with India and with Britain, and whether this really took place or not, but in the movie, after they've battled, and he's battled and battled move by move, with against the English government, but then he goes for a meeting, and he says, I apologize that I may have caused you all a lot of grief. So this is the attitude, is we cannot polarize. We cannot be part of the polarization process by getting so locked into hatred or negative emotions. Instead, we just understand it's our role. It's our role to be serious when it's time to be serious, and it's our role to laugh and celebrate every tiny victory. Celebrate, congratulate yourself, keep it light, keep it on a very high vibration.
Like that. And on that note, we have to wrap up, but I want to give out the name of the book and the website. The book is The Impeccable Warrior of Light, Mantras and Rituals for Spiritual Protection. The author is the same as Peace Mother Gita, Sacred Song. And the website for her work, incredible work, is sacredpeace.org. That's www.sacredpeace, of course, that's P-E-A-C-E.org. Peace Mother, I want to thank you so much for being with us today, and hopefully our listeners will find you through the magic of the Internet and pick up your book, because I can say personally that you do have incredible light energy. You are a laser beam of light, and all things good. So I recommend you to my listeners.
Thank you so much, Betsy. And let everyone who's listening, let's envision the Earth as healthy. And let's envision wise government, loving, compassionate government, and all of us as being whole and enlightened. All my love to all of you. J.J. Ma.
Thank you. And may the dinosaurs wake up. That's my version of humor. And soon, may sanity prevail. You're listening to Green Front.
Of course, they're already woken up. They've awoken. Celebrations. Let's throw a party.
You know what? They'll wake up if we shake this rattle really loud.
Exactly. Exactly. That's rattle over everyone that you want to wake up.
Hey, bring sanity to Sean Inanity, as I call him. We've got to take a break.
I love it. Thank you, Betsy.
When we come back, we're going to be speaking
to the
light. Thank you. Dorca Keene, she has interviewed 20 of the planet's, most prominent eco-warriors. There's many, many more behind them, but we're going to find out what prompted her to write this book called Eco-Amazons right after these messages. Stay with us.